This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Dan Hurley. In 2017, 144 American pedestrians were struck and killed, the highest number in 29 years. To try to understand what is behind the growing threat to pedestrians crossing the streets or on the sidewalk, we are joined now by Assistant Professor of Transportation Engineering at the University of Cincinnati, Dr. Jossie Ma. Dr. Ma, welcome back to Cincinnati Edition. Good to have you here.
Thank you for having me, Dan.
You know, we've been talking, and I think you were able to hear some of that, about schools. But this isn't happening in isolation. There's a lot – this is a trend that's national that isn't just about young children. It's about adults too, right?
Exactly. So this is all about pedestrian safety problems. We have seen a trend in the past several years. It's actually been increasing. You know, I have a number here. So according to a study done by Insurance Institute for Highway Safety, IIHS, actually the number of pedestrians in the U.S. hit and killed by cars in 2016, because the study was done in 2016, rose to about almost 6,000. So the highest level in 28 years, and a 46% increase from their lowest point in 2009. So you see that this is a dramatic increase in the past years.
Yes. And you know, if you take a look at those trends from 1975, as I understand, when a lot of the data started to be collected, mm-hmm. started out at sort of an $8,000 level, gets driven down by 2009 to about 4,000, as you said. Some of that could have been a false bottom in a sense that was in at the end of the recession, and
yes.
maybe people weren't driving as much and whatever, but it has bounced back up to 6,000 basically. So mm-hmm. we're seeing this spike back up. We don't know where it's going to go. What sort of factors in your mind are involved in this trend that we're in at the moment?
Yeah, highway safety or pedestrian safety in particular here is quite complex problems, and there can be a lot of contributing factors. Anything related to highway, to vehicle, to pedestrian behavior, to driver behavior. So I can give you a few examples of the the reasons. For example, you mentioned the economy, right? During good economy, people have access to jobs. They have to go travel from their home to their work, right? So transportation demand is always a derived demand. So when they have to travel, then they are exposed to all the crash risks. So it's obviously the number of crashes, you know, statistically will increase. The other aspect is we have seen in the past years, there's a lot of media coverage about distracted driving, particularly cell phone use in cars, and also cell phone use by pedestrians, right? So although there's no really statistical studies, very few of them, I would say, to confidently say how much the distracted driving by using cell phone has been impacting the pedestrian crashes. But we logically believe that's a big issue. And for example, there are other aspects of the design of our roadway, right? There's a very few safe mid-block crossings, right? Pedestrians want to cross the highways. And American highways are not designed really for the pedestrians. So but pedestrians want to cross the highway conveniently. They don't want to walk like 5 minutes to go to the next intersection and then cross the roadway at an intersection. So they do mid-block crossing. But if there's no particular specific infrastructure for that, then that's become a problem.
And do you think that's different in other countries, in other cultures?
I think it's definitely different from country to country. You know, from my perspective, I've been to a couple of countries in Asia, including China, Japan, Korea. You know, obviously, they have more type of because they don't have as many as passenger cars as in the U.S. Everybody in the U.S. like to drive, basically. But in countries, in Asian countries like China and Japan, the public transportation are pretty advanced. So there's be a lot of pedestrians crossing the roadway to get to the next bus stop, next to the train stop. So there, I would say their mid-block crossing, from what I've seen, is pretty mature.
What about the design of vehicles themselves? I mean, the United States, we know, United States drivers have become fascinated by SUVs and trucks.
Yes.
And to the point that General Motors and Ford are phasing out a lot of their sedans. And does the SUV, which tends to be heavier, but also blunter on the front end. Is that a factor here?
Yes, as you said, it's blunter at the front end. So there are actually studies out there. They have done collected data. They did the experiments, compare the regular passenger vehicles like sedans and also the SUV type of bigger vehicles. And because of that, you know, I can put it simply, because they're higher and use a vertical front end, it is easier, it's more likely to hit pedestrians' chest and head. In that case, it's deadlier.
Yeah. So it's hitting them at a at the part of the body.
Yes.
That is vulnerable to the more serious damage.
Exactly.
You know, we have a couple of calls that have come in already. So I want to start with Barbara. Barbara, you have a question which I think Dr. Ma referenced here before, but we can explore it a little bit more. So what's your question?
Hi, yes. It's the increased use of cell phone, both by the driver and the pedestrian. I have a cell phone and I don't like using it, but I find myself using it and I think it is a distraction. So I'm just wondering about that, as well as, and you mentioned this as too, with regards to people driving to work, just the way in which people give themselves less time and the commute. Thank you. I'll take this off the air.
So were you saying before, you sort of said that we don't have great data on the impact of handhelds on drivers or pedestrians, but you suspect. So are people out there doing studies, though?
Yeah, highway safety studies, because I teach highway safety engineering at the university. So highway safety studies out there is mostly, you know, statistical studies. Basically, we have to collect like 5 years of data or 6 years of data, crash data, basically, to look at, okay, what are the contributing factors to one, you know, particular types of crashes. Now, you know, with the distracted driving type of crash, for the distracted driving, it's tricky because when there's a crash out there and you go, police officers can ask the driver, are you using your cell phone? You know, are you distracted? They will never say they're distracted. And the police officers can check the call logs or they can check their browser activities. But frankly, these crashes usually happens at tenths of a second. You know, it's very difficult to correlate the crash to that, you know, the tenths of a second of crash incident to that the cell phone use activity.
You know, on the question of distraction, the more modern the car, the more gadgets there are in front of you as the driver in terms of digital displays and things are flashing and showing your gas mileage and blah, 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 and all that stuff going on. It's another source of distraction, not just the telephone.
I believe so. So we have more and more interesting things, I would say, in a car. So it's important for the manufacturers. When they design it, I think they have done so as well. They have to do this human factor studies to see how much distracting the new features they add into the vehicle is. And from the other perspective, we have more and more safety features in a car as well. So in that aspect, it probably helped improve the safety as well. Now, you mentioned the distracting from the vehicle side. Now, on the highway, we have more and more signs, this sign, that sign, speed limit signs, dynamic message sign, and a dynamic message sign usually show a lot of messages to you. If you try to read that message, it is very high distraction.
I was wondering where you go. My wife and I were just talking about this because as passengers, if you're in a passenger seat, you can read all that stuff. But if you're the driver and you start reading all that stuff, it can be a problem.
But those things are designed for the drivers to read it, right? They're supposed to make decisions. Do I need to divert? Where is the incident?
We have another caller. Jane has called in and has an observation about walking in our community. Jane, what's your question?
Well, it's not a question. It's just that I do walk a lot, and it happens to be on Montgomery Road, Sycamore Township in Silverton, and people who are driving really do not pay attention to crosswalks. And even when it says walk, they just pull right out. You know, they don't look to see if there's a person who wants to cross. And I decided to call because at the time when they were talking about making the schools safer, which is very important for walkers, a lot of it has to do with the drivers not paying attention to the kids.
So even though there is a crosswalk there, and either adults or children in the crosswalk doing what they're supposed to do, your point is that drivers aren't necessarily paying attention to that. So
not.
And
because I walk a lot, and you know, I walk with a friend, and we've shaken our finger at people and yelled at them because they just will be halfway across the crosswalk and somebody turning left just pulls right in front of us.
And I totally agree with that. A lot of the drivers are not really paying attention, and let alone they're distracted, right? So in my previous position, I worked with Federal Highway's Office of Safety. So a lot of we developed a few applications. I can give two examples here. Basically, both the key point of both studies are raising the awareness of the drivers, of the pedestrians. The one is different countermeasures that can increase the awareness. One is a sort of more recent approach called pedestrian activated beacons, right? At intersections, we have pedestrian signals, and so drivers kind of their awareness is better. But at regular mid-block crossings, they will not be able to, they're not that aware of the pedestrians that well. So pedestrian activated beacons is one countermeasure we usually use. The other is if you heard about the new technology, we call it connected vehicles technology. We talked about it the last time.
Right.
So we developed one application, actually. So actually a smartphone application. Now, we are not asking the pedestrians or driver to use a smartphone. So everything's passive running at the back end. Basically, we define a geofenced area at the mid-block crossing. When a pedestrian enters this area, his cell phone will send messages to the surrounding drivers. So the driver's phone will alert the drivers that there's a pedestrian about to cross the mid-block crossing.
Would the driver have to have a particular app activated at that point? Or?
Yes. In that case, the driver have to have an activated
app. So if we were all driving with Waze, for example.
Exactly.
You would get it automatically. You could hear it as you're driving down.
That's right. And we have invited a lot of participants to do the study. And our results, I think 50 participants, our results show that there's a statistically significant difference between the behavior of the drivers without the warning and with the warning.
Hmm. So there are technological things that might be possible to improve this situation.
That's right.
You know, one of the really human things here, we were talking about children in the first part of the show. Given my age, I am tuned in to older adults, and I happen to live in a community where, one, a lot of the people are retired, and secondly, walking is one of the exercises that people use. I think there are, as the aging population, there's more and more people who are in that group, and they're going to use walking in order to get their daily exercise. And in a sense, we're putting more people, well, not just out on the roads, but out on sidewalks at least. And, you know, people who are in their 60s and 70s were probably less able to bounce than younger people are. And I think we're raising the problems here.
Mm-hmm.
Real problem. So, you know, one of the things in a chart that I had an opportunity to see was where these accidents take place. And travel lanes is over 50% at intersections. And we might talk a little bit more about intersection design. But side of the road, one of the ones that surprised me was interstate freeway, 9% of pedestrians. And my first thought was, where are these pedestrians on the interstate? But I think it's people probably whose car is broken down and get out to change their tire to get something out of the back of their car. I don't know if that's what that's measuring or not. I am aware of two people who I've known who have been killed that way. So, you know, even in an interstate situation, this is a serious issue.
Yes, especially in a state. Again, it's awareness, right? In a state, drivers are not expecting there are pedestrians on the interstate. So they will say, okay, I'll just keep on driving. What I need to be aware of is the vehicle surrounding me. He never expect to be aware of pedestrians. Once there are pedestrians there, given the high speed on interstates, drivers will not have time to react and make decisions to slow down or stop. So that's why if there are any potential hazards on the interstates where the pedestrians walking in the travel lane, there it's very highly likely that the problem is going to happen.
So getting at intersections, the law says that you can, in lots of intersections, maybe most, on a red light, you can turn right. And sometimes you can turn right from two lanes, the curb lane and from the next lane out. You're not supposed to do that while you're at a stop, but people do it. Is there a way that intersections, from an engineering, a traffic engineering point of view, that we could do better at the design of intersections?
Yes. So intersections, I would back to my traffic, where my traffic engineer had a little bit. So intersections are designed because you have different flows of traffic in different directions. There are a lot of potential conflict points, right? So the goal is to using traffic signals or other signs like stop signs or yield signs, basic to remove those conflict points. Now, what are those conflict points? If that conflict's ever been realized, that's a crash, right? Because two vehicles coming together from different directions. Now, there's different designs out there really to we call alternative intersections. There are a lot of materials online. Federal Highway started to look at it since about 10 years ago. It has been deployed in multiple locations in the U.S. So the key point of alternative intersections is that it, by directing the traffic flow in alternative ways, it can reduce the conflict points. In that case, it will reduce the potential the crash risks.
And is that being implemented in some cities?
Yes, it has been implemented in a couple of cities. I think there's one in Utah, there's one in Maryland. I think yes. And there have been studies out there studied the safety effects of alternative intersection, and there's statistically significant results.
Two things, driverless cars. And you were making some reference to this before, but driverless cars and smart city technology generally, do you see these as improving the situation or, are they just going to complicate the situation or change the situation?
I think overall, I'm positive. I think the driverless technologies are going to improve highway safety. Every time I teach, the first class of highway safety in University of Cincinnati, I tell my students 94% of the highway crash are caused by human error. Think about 94%. If we can get human out of a loop, I'm not going to say it's going to get remove the 94% completely, but at least the machines are going to react much better, much faster. And machines are not going to get distracted. They're not going to use cell phone. If they can use cell phone, their CPU probably is dealing with some parts of CPU dealing with that. There are still some parts dedicated to the driving. So with all these things, I think machines are going to be more reliable in terms of driving. So I think it will improve. But again, smart city technologies, again, I will want to back to our example just now. You have different boards, different signs, different fancy, different colors, surrounding the human driver. Their phone will be ringing. Their in-vehicle display will be kind of diverse. These are a lot of distractions. Now, manufacturers, whoever designed the vehicles, whoever designed the roadway infrastructure have to take into this human factor in consideration to make sure that whatever they put out there does not compromise safety.
This may take you down a path that doesn't go anywhere here, but with all of these accidents of what we were talking about in the first part of the show with school students, has this come up? And if you use this in your class at UC to say, we clearly have a problem here, how can we address this? Have you tried to put this in front of your students and see if they can come up with a good idea?
Oh, yes, absolutely. So every part of one part of the highway safety class is to design countermeasures to a selected safety problems. For example, mid-block crossing, right? This is always a big problem in my highway safety class. So students are asked to basically do one of their homework to talk about what are the countermeasures out there that can reduce this problem, like the pedestrian activate beacons and that type of solutions has been, you know, talked about in the class.
Mm-hmm. This idea of traffic calming, is this something that you would teach? And do you think it's important?
Yeah, absolutely. This is traffic calming is a big program, I think, firstly raised by Federal Highway, and a lot of local agencies and started to implement it in their different places. Now, traffic calming, basically, you want the whole, I would say, when your system have to be designed that can be for the safety of all the users, not just independent drivers, but also for the pedestrians. So I think traffic calming is take a holistic view of the highway system to make sure the safety efficiency of the whole system. I think that's important.
Well, that whole idea of, you know, getting cities to be more pedestrian friendly, more bike friendly,
yes,
all of that relates to this.
Yes.
Well, Professor Moth, thank you for being with us again. And good luck. A new semester, I guess, just got started. And see if you can solve some of these problems. You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer for today's show is Pete Reitmeier. The assistant producer is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Alstro. Archives of our program are available on the website at wvxu.org. I'm Dan Hurley.